What happens when we pray? You know, a lot of times we hear a lot of things about prayer. We try to sometimes muddle our way through prayers. Sometimes we really don't know what to pray for, or sometimes we feel guilty because we haven't spent enough time in prayer. Sometimes we come on Wednesday nights for our prayer meeting and we pray for these needs and we wonder, well, has God really heard my prayer? Well, tonight I want us to consider the four different roles that we see throughout the Bible of prayer. And my point is to show us over the next several weeks before Christmas is that when we pray, when a Christian prays, a lot happens. There's a lot going on when a Christian prays. Not only are we doing the act of prayer, but the entire Trinity is at work in and through and on behalf of our prayers. When we pray, not only is it our words, but it is the Spirit of God doing a work in our prayers. It is Christ our Savior, who is even now in heaven himself, doing a work in and through our prayers. And it is the Father up in heaven, sitting there on his throne, doing work in and through our prayers. So I want you to realize as a Christian that prayer is a tremendous privilege and a tremendous responsibility, because when we set our hearts to praying, you know what? There's a lot going on when we pray. So tonight I want to focus on our role in prayer, the role of a Christian in prayer. And as we look at this, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. If we were to take a survey or to ask a question here tonight about what you think prayer is, most people would say that prayer is talking with God, and I think that's a very good definition. It's just talking from our hearts or with our voices to the Lord and addressing Him in that way. We have been studying on Wednesday nights, just kind of working our way through the Lord's Prayer and meditating on each element of the Lord's Prayer there in Matthew and considering what He teaches us. And the great salutation of all our prayers ought to be bringing us into the very presence of God, our Father, which art in heaven. Every time we pray, we need to recognize that when we come before Him in faith, we are actually entering into the presence of the one who created us, the one who saved us, the one who is sanctifying us and causing us to grow, and the one who ultimately will glorify us and give us a place with Him in heaven. That is what we do when we pray. Prayer, in fact, brings a child of God into the very presence of God. Isn't that an amazing statement? We looked at how prayer can basically bridge the entire gap, the vast distance of space and time, to bring us into the very presence of God in heaven where He dwells. But I think also we need to understand that prayer not only is just talking with God, but a primary aspect of prayer is that of asking. That of asking. What is our role in prayer? What is our responsibility? What is our privilege in prayer? I believe it is to ask. If you'll look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, I'd like to read just a few verses here. Jesus says this, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." And he goes on, "For what man is there of you, whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law of the prophets." We need to understand that the primary aspect that we see of prayer and our role in prayer is that of asking. And when we come to God as our Father in heaven, and we approach that throne of grace, and we begin to ask, you know what? An amazing thing happens. Because not only are we set to pray, the Holy Spirit, Christ Himself, the Father in heaven, are all at work in and through and on behalf of our prayers. When a Christian sets himself to pray, things happen. Not only that, but if a church would truly grasp that when we pray, we are entering into the very presence of God, and when we pray, we are just one role and one aspect of that prayer. That it's not just our words, rather it is the ones, the persons of the Trinity that is at work in and through our words on behalf of our prayer that is going to implement them in our behalf for us. I once was praying with a gentleman when I was in college, and I don't believe he was a Christian at the time, but I remember we had a prayer meeting with our society of men, and we went together for this prayer meeting, and myself and this other fellow, his name was Paul, and another gentleman, I don't remember his name, but we sat down and we knelt and we prayed, and we just, kind of like we do sometimes on Wednesday nights, we went around a pattern, and I prayed, and then another person prayed, and then Paul prayed. And as he was praying, it was really more of just a talk. And I got to thinking that this talk probably didn't make it any further than the scenery because he didn't know who he was talking to. Sometimes we need to realize that as Christians, our prayers are not like that, though it may feel that way sometimes. Sometimes we come and we say, well, what's the use of praying? Because, you know, I haven't seen the answers to prayer. I haven't seen the answer to the power to prayer. What's the use of spending length of time in prayer? Well, we need to realize that when we pray, not just our words, not just our role in prayer, the entire Trinity is at work in and through us. So tonight I want us to consider our role in prayer. I believe that our role in prayer can be summed up by that word, that three-letter word in verse 7. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that we can ask? That word ask is a very interesting word because it is actually an imperative. It is implying a command. It is an expectation of God toward His people that we would come before Him and ask. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that God desires us to come before Him and just to lay our needs out before His people? And just to come before Him with a heartfelt dependence and love for Him, and just come to Him and ask. Asking is such a simple thing, isn't it? Asking is such a simple thing, and yet sometimes it can be the hardest. My wife and I were traveling to Cincinnati a couple weeks ago to go with my daughter for her field trip to the Newport Aquarium. As we were leaving, I needed gas, desperately needed gas. And so we took a turn and got onto a bridge, went into Cincinnati proper, and we're driving around town, and we were very close to being totally empty. You know, and I didn't really care about so much finding the right highway home. I just wanted to find a gas station. And so we drove. We drove. All throughout Cincinnati, I was getting frustrated, thinking, well, where in the world are these people that they can get their gas? How do they fill up? There's no gas stations anywhere. And so, like a guy, a lot of times, we'll just kind of keep going until we try to find it ourselves, right? Well, eventually, we were driving through a residential area, and I saw a few people that I could ask. And there was this one lady that was jogging down the road, and I pulled over and I rolled down our window, and she was probably going 15 miles, and she saw my wife, and was probably comforted that there was a lady in the car as well. I just leaned over and I asked, yes, you were the gas station. What is this gas station? We were about to run it. Just a simple thought. Simply ask. You know what? It was the right direction. That's exactly where to go. Where to go. Sometimes it can be the easiest thing to do, and yet sometimes the hardest thing. So it is in our lives as Christians. Asking. One of the primary things in prayer, coming before God and asking, it seems so simple, and yet sometimes with our pride and with our arrogance, with our own desire and our own wills, sometimes it can be the hardest thing. The Lord expects us to ask. The Lord expects and desires us because it implies not only a command, but it also implies dependence. It means that we should not only ask, but to certainly desire in our hearts and even beg. When you ask someone something, what does it mean? It means that you're missing something, or you're lacking something. Perhaps you're lacking knowledge about something. We didn't know exactly where this gas station was, and so I asked because I had a need. Sometimes if we are in need of food or water or clothes or something, we're going to ask. Why? Because we have a desperate need of those things. And so when we ask, it implies that we have a need. And if we truly recognize our need and our dependence, we're going to ask and even beg if we have to. Not only does ask imply a command and dependence on our part, but it also implies a condition. It means that when we ask, we're going to ask someone that has an answer, or that we think is going to be able to provide. When we look at our role of asking, we see our responsibility to ask. We have a responsibility in our lives as Christians to come before God and ask. Why? Because God is the God who told us to. If I were to come to you and I said, if you want to ask me any directions, do so. And you didn't avail yourself and you got lost, well, that's your own problem, right? The Lord says, come to me and ask. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It is our responsibility and our role in prayer to ask. And what a tremendous privilege and honor that is. We're going to consider our responsibility to pray and to ask. First, we see our responsibility to ask according to God's will. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, as we consider our responsibility to ask according to God's will. 1 John 5, 14 and 15, we read this, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask, again, that three-letter word, if we ask anything according to His will, well, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Our responsibility is to ask. To ask according to God's will. How do we know God's will? Because God's will is always found in God's Word. It's not a mystery to us. If you look throughout the Psalms, how does David ask about God's will? He says, teach me to do your will. Not help me find out what your will is, but to do your will. Why? Because it's there already for us in the Word of God. We just need to read it and learn it and do it. Our responsibility is to ask according to God's will. We find out God's will by looking at God's Word. We also understand God's will by following Christ's teaching. Matthew 6:10, Jesus said, thy will be done. That was His desire. His desire was not for His will to be accomplished, but for God the Father's will to be accomplished. And then Christ's example was found in Mark 14:36 when He prayed, not what I will, but what you will. He aligned His will with His Father's will. And that is what we need to do as well in our responsibility of asking. We need to align our will with God's will. Some of you might have inkjet printers. You understand what it means to align a printer. If you were to put in a new inkjet cartridge on your printer, what happens? A lot of times it can be out of alignment. You can print funny different characters and different things. And so you can run it through a test phase to be able to print it out and then align the cartridge so you can get the print just the way you want it to be. And so it is with our time of prayer. When we come before God and ask, it is our responsibility to align our will with God's will. It is also our responsibility to ask when there is a spiritual need. Let's turn over with me to James. James chapter 1, verse 5. Have you ever experienced a time where you needed something spiritual? James said very clearly concerning one of those spiritual needs in verse 5 of James 1, if any of you lack wisdom, what should you do? Let him ask. Let him ask. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, when we pray, and when we recognize our responsibility to ask when there's a spiritual need, it's going to require some self-examination in our life, isn't it? It's going to require us to consider what spiritual needs we have in our lives. Do you lack faith? Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberty. Do you lack wisdom? Let him ask of God. Do you lack power in your life with men, with God? Let him ask. Do you lack any other spiritual needs that you have? Do you lack the power to overcome sin and temptation? Let him ask. Let him ask. It requires a self-examination and assessment of a personal spiritual need. You know, it's all too often that we assess the needs of others, don't we? We can easily recognize a character flaw in someone else, and yet we ought to consider our own character needs and our own spiritual needs. We can easily say, well, that person needs wisdom. That person needs insight. That person is lacking some character and some initiative in this area and that area. And yet what we need to do when we come in our responsibility to ask is to recognize that we have a need. It's not anybody else, but it's me standing in the need of prayer, Lord. It's the needs that I have, the spiritual needs of wisdom and faith and knowledge. But this requires, and this is part of our role in asking, it requires humility in admitting of this need. We are prideful people. We do not want to recognize or even admit that there's a fault in our life. And yet, when we come before God, and we recognize our primary role of asking, when we ask, it implies that there's a need. And as we consider the needs that we have, it implies that we are going to be humble before God and say, God, whatever I need, you will supply. Because not only does it require humility, but it also requires dependence in seeking God's help. Our responsibility to ask is to ask according to God's will, to ask when there is a spiritual need, but it are also our responsibility is to ask in faith. In James 1:6, just a verse over, it says this, but let him ask. How? In faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. When we come to the Lord and ask, which is our primary role in prayer, we ought to come in faith, believing in the promises of God, believing that God says that He's going to hear, believing in the roles of all the rest of the Trinity, believing that the Spirit Himself is going to be working in our prayer, that Christ Himself is going to be working in our prayer, that God the Father Himself is going to be listening and acting through our prayers. We need to believe. If we ask and do not believe, why ask in the first place? If I would have thought that that lady that was jogging there would not have given me right directions, I would have never stopped in the first place. I would have never asked her if she had any idea where that nearest gas station would have been. I would have asked. Why? Because I didn't believe. But I did. I believed that she would have an answer. Why? Because she lived there. She was jogging there. I would assume that she didn't drive from Indianapolis just to jog there and then go home to Indianapolis. I assume she lived there. She's familiar with the territory. So it is when we consider God, the one that we ask. He is the one in control of this entire universe. He's in control of our lives. He's in control of the needs that we have. And so when we ask, He is familiar. He is intimately familiar. It's His territory. Our responsibility is to ask, and to ask according to God's will, to ask when there's a spiritual need, to ask in faith. But our responsibility doesn't end there. It also is to ask in sincerity. If you turn over just a page or so, in James chapter 4, verse 2, James says this, ye ask, here he's talking to people probably like us who do ask. We recognize our role in prayer, and we do come to the Lord and ask. And he says this, but you receive not. He gives this reason, because you ask amiss. How do we ask amiss? Because it's so that you may consume it upon your lusts. In other words, many times our asking does not show humility. Many times our asking does not show dependence because we are instead trying to have God align His will with ours. We want to consume it in our own lusts, and that word lust is just simply desires. It's not just a sinful lust, but just interest, things that interest us, things that we have as a priority in our life. This is where I want to go with my life. This is what I want to do with my life. This is what I'm interested in, Lord. And now that I'm interested in that, well, why don't you get along and come alongside me and bless it and make it powerful? No, we are to ask in sincerity by asking according to His will, by asking when there's a spiritual need, asking in faith, but doing so in a sincere way. I've known children to ask for something that they've already taken without asking. You've probably known that. They take something and they are guilty because they did that and come up, got in their pocket, and hide it behind their back. Daddy, can I have one? Please, can you? Well, sure. Okay. And the pops says that. He already had it. Is that asking amiss? Absolutely. It's consuming upon their own lusts. They do so they won't get in trouble. Well, oftentimes our asking has the same kind of motive. Our responsibility is to ask and to ask in sincerity. But another aspect of our responsibility to ask in our role of asking and in prayer is to ask in fellowship with God. If this is right, all these others will be right. If our fellowship with God is right, we will ask sincerely. We will ask in faith. We will ask when there is a spiritual need in our life. We will ask according to God's will. We find this in 1 John chapter 3, just a few pages over again. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, where John writes this, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him." Why? Because we keep His commandments. And we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now this isn't just talking about a formula saying that, well, if you do these commandments, if you do this, that, and the other, you know what? Then God will answer your prayer. It's not just talking about a formula, but it's talking about a fellowship. When you keep His commandments, when you do those things that are pleasing in His sight, you are actually walking with God. You are in tune with God and His Word and what He says you're going to do. It's not just a list of criteria and rules that you're going to perform in order to get something. I remember I had a childhood friend, went over to his house to spend the night one time, and his parents put up a big chart on his wall. And this chart was rather interesting, and I was very glad that my parents didn't see this chart on the wall, because his parents listed certain duties that he had to do, and chores that he had to do around the house. And not only did they have the duties, but, and that's bad enough, but he had punishments if he didn't do the duties. And the punishments were put out in how many swats he would get with a paddle. For example, he didn't clean his room. Clean room. He didn't do it. 3 swats. Or 2 swats here. Or 1 swat there. And I thought, I'm so glad that I'm not in this family. I wanted to keep my parents away from this house so they wouldn't figure this out and do it themselves. But oftentimes he would try to keep those rules and regulations, not just out of a desire to please his parents and to have a good fellowship, because he didn't want all those swats, right? We need to realize that our responsibility is to ask in fellowship with God. It's not a formula that we keep, but a fellowship with Him. It's not certain requirements, but it's a relationship. It's not because of, but through keeping His commandments and doing these things that are pleasing in His sight. It is through these things that when we ask, we will receive. When your relationship with God is such that pleases Him, and you know if and when you have that kind of relationship, you know if you have a walk with God that pleases and honors Him, you know if you are close to the Lord or if you're not, it's not a secret to us as Christians. But when you realize that your relationship with God is such that pleases Him, you can know that He hears what you ask. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. We read this, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. When your relationship with God does not please him, and you know when that happens as well, you know if there is something between your soul and the Savior, you know if there's something in your life that has displeased the Lord, you know if you are not walking in step and in fellowship with him, you know when that happens, and you can also know very assuredly that you cannot fulfill your role in prayer by asking and then receiving because you do not have a fellowship and a relationship with him. I've said it many times, prayer is not the words that you use, but it's the hearts that you have in prayer. I've been able to sit with people that pray very elaborate prayers with great flowery language, large vocabulary. Then I've been able to pray with men, women that have very simple words. It's not the words that we say, it's the heart behind that with those words. It's that fellowship with God. You might say, well, sometimes I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to formulate these prayers. I remember I had some young people in the prayer room here on a Wednesday night. And traditionally we have all the young people that go around the room and pray. And whether or not they want to or not, they have to. And there was a few young people that, I don't know what to say. You know who he is. You know what he's like. Tell what you're thankful for. Tell what you like about him. So he prayed. This person prayed, and it was such a simple, childlike, faithful prayer to the Lord. It wasn't the word that he said, it was the heart that he had. It wasn't a formula, but a fellowship. It wasn't a requirement, but a relationship. And when your relationship with God pleases him, you know not only that it pleases him, but you know that he hears your prayers. Psalm 66:18 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we know that we have a responsibility to ask in prayer. We're also going to be considering not just our responsibility, but also we're going to be considering our confidence in asking as well as our content in asking. But it is our responsibility in our role of prayer to ask. If we do not ask, we will not receive. If we do not ask according to God's will, if we do not ask in sincerity, if we do not ask in fellowship, if we do not ask in all these ways, then it comes down to really that fellowship with the Lord. And we will not know that he is going to answer. That's our responsibility to ask. Next, let's consider our confidence in asking. You know, we can ask God confidently in prayer because of several reasons. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at a few of these reasons. Our role in prayer is to ask. And we can ask God in a confident way, first of all, because we see God's knowledge of what we ask. We can confidently ask. Look at Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8, but especially focusing on verse 8. Jesus says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, it wasn't to them about fellowship. It was about having a certain criteria and requirement of their prayers. They wanted to be seen of men. Jesus says this in verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, he gives some very practical instruction, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, verse 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking, or because they talk a lot. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Isn't that astounding thing? This is part of God the Father's role in prayer, is to know what we're going to pray before we pray it. To know what we're going to ask before we ask it. And that is why we can confidently ask, because God already knows what it is we're going to ask. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? If we had a specific need that we had, and we were going to ask someone about a particular lack of knowledge, something that we need in our life, and that person had an intimate understanding of what we were going to ask before we asked it, wouldn't that save an awful lot of time? Because they would know exactly what we're going to ask. They would have all their answer ready for us. They would have all the materials that we might need, whatever the case may be. Sometimes I wish, when I was working at the bank, I wish that I had known what people would ask me. Because a lot of times, I didn't know the answer to what they were asking. And it took me time to find out. If I would have known what they would have asked me, I would have been able to do research and find it and have the answers right there and then for them when they asked it. Oh, the Father that we have that we can come to and pray and ask, He knows what we're going to ask before we even do so. We see the fact of His knowledge. It says here that your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. The fact of His knowledge is based on His careful attention to us, His providence and His love over us. He knows us. He knows us inside and out. He knows those things that we have, that are needs in our lives. He knows those things that we do not have needs of. He knows everything about us. He knows those things that tempt us and try us. And He knows those things that encourage and challenge us. He knows what we pray before we ask. The object of His knowledge is the needs that we are currently having. This verse is very practical. These verses are very practical because it talks about when you have a need, when you pray, enter into your closet and do so with confidence, because the Father knows what things you have need of right then and there before you ask. He knows those needs in your life right then and right now. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so we can come and ask confidently because of His knowledge of what we ask. We also can be confident when we ask because of His provision for what we ask. Look just a chapter over in Matthew 7. Verses 7 through 11. We can ask God confidently in prayer because not only of God's knowledge of what we ask, but because of God's provision for what we ask. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. We read these earlier. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? The Lord provides what we ask. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. I like the phrase in verse 11 when it says, how much more? We can be certain of His provision because the Lord is much greater than any earthly benefactor, any earthly provider that we could imagine. When I was a child, I did not live in want. I thank the Lord for giving me parents that worked hard and provided food on the table, clothes for my back, roof over my head. It was a wonderful thing. I, as a child, just like most children, don't have to worry about things like that. Why? Because my dad was going to take care of me. My mom was going to take care of me. They did. Sometimes our children don't even think about some of the things that we have to do to provide for them. How much more? What a wonderful phrase. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? We can confidently come before God and fulfill our role of asking, knowing that God will provide for what we ask. The basis of His provision is the relationship that He has with us. He is our Father. Just as Christ taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven. We looked at that at length a few Wednesday nights ago, how He is our Father. What a tremendous relationship that we have. Anyone who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior has God as their Father. And no longer do they have to worry about the needs, because God their Father will provide for them. And so they can be certain and confident when they pray that when they pray and ask, God will provide what they ask. But what does He provide? It says He provides good things in verse 11. Good things. No good thing will He withhold to them that walk uprightly. Good things. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Good things. This is what God provides to those who fulfill their role in prayer by coming to Him and simply asking. Good things. Good things. Not good things that we might think in a worldly sense, but good things that He knows are good for us and will grow us and strengthen us and empower us in our prayer and our walk with Him. We can ask God confidently in prayer because of God's knowledge of what we ask, because of God's provision for what we ask, but also because of God's abundance over what we ask. His abundance over what we ask. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 for a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 3, verse you're probably familiar with. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, Paul says, "Now unto Him," referring to God, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." We can be confident when we ask God in prayer, fulfilling our role in prayer, because of God's abundance over what we ask. We see His ability to provide abundantly. It says there in verse 20 that He is able, unto Him that is able. That word able is from the Greek dunamai, which we get our word dynamite from. It is an empowered thing, an enabling thing. God is all powerful to provide what we need, especially when we ask. Not only is He able, but He is able to do it exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. All that we ask. It's an amazing thing. Christmas is coming. Sometimes we have Christmas lists. There's a difference between what I desire and what I ask for. I'm trying to remember who asked, but someone asked, I think it was my mom, what would my wife want for Christmas? Just jokingly, I said, "Well, she'd like to have a nice red sports car." And I said, "Of course, you know, she didn't have the means to buy that, so how about a pot for the kitchen or something like that? You know, something you can handle. God can handle all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." We have confidence in what we ask because of God's knowledge of what we ask before we even ask it, because of God's provision for what we ask, and because of God's abundance over what we ask. That is our confidence in asking. Asking is our role in prayer. But what is the content of asking? What is the content of asking? What are we to ask for? R.A. Torrey wrote this about George Mueller and his example of prayer. He says, "When it was laid upon George Mueller's heart to pray for anything, he would search the scriptures to find if there was some promise that covered the case. Sometimes he would search the scriptures for days before he presented his petition to God. And then when he found the promise, with his open Bible before him and his finger upon that promise, he would plead that promise with an open Bible before God." And George Mueller could pray with complete confidence because he knew that what he asked for was God's will because it came from God's Word. How loose we are with our prayers when we ask. How loose and frivolous we sometimes are. Because we will ask things and yet we do not know if it's really according to God's will. Yet George Mueller can serve as an example. He would spend days looking in the scriptures to see if what he was considering in his prayer would conform to the will of God. And if it didn't, he wouldn't pray it. But if it did, he would claim that verse and pray and plead before God and ask with confidence, knowing that it was according to His will. What are some things that we can ask for? What is the content of our asking in our role in prayer? We're going to look at just a couple. three or four here. Asking for God's counsel and direction. If you turn with me to Judges chapter 10, the Old Testament, we see Judges chapter 10. The people of Israel were seeking God's direction against the Benjamites, the tribe of Benjamin, after they sinned. It was a very distressing time for the children of Israel. What did they do? In Judges chapter 10, verse 18, we read this. The children of Israel said unto the Lord, "We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day." We can understand that God gives direction. God gives direction. God gives direction. That's the content of what our asking should be. God's counsel and direction. We should also ask for God's wisdom. James 1:5, we looked at it earlier. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Do you need counsel and direction for your life? Do you need wisdom in decision making and in planning for your life? We can pray and ask. Ask for God's illumination in your life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. An understanding of God and His Word. If we want to know God's will, we have to know His Word. How can we know His Word except the Spirit of God teach us what the Word of God has to say? Matthew 17, verse 9. Here we have the Transfiguration. In verse 9, we pick it up. As they came down from that mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." And the disciples asked Him a question. "Why then say the scribes that Elias or Elijah must first come?" Jesus answered and said unto him, in answer to their question, "Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things, but I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they know him not. They knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. We need to understand that when we ask God, just like these disciples asked for understanding and illumination and knowledge, the Lord is going to provide it through His Spirit. Sometimes if you're walking through a dark building and you're struggling to find a light switch, you might find everything else in the room before you find that light switch, but once you do, you turn it on and that room is filled with light and you don't have to stumble, you don't have to search around any longer, it's as clear as day. And so it is with the light and the illumination from the Lord. Have you ever come across a passage? Have you ever thought to stop and go before God and ask the author what he meant by that verse? An astounding thing over the past several months as we've been looking in Hebrews, there's a lot of things that are hard to understand in that book. A lot of things that have been challenging my own way of thinking. There are many times that I would read commentaries, multiple commentaries, sometimes 7, 8, 9, 10 different commentaries, get a different view on a passage from every single one of them and still be back where I was at the beginning. We need to go before God and say, "Lord, I'm going to ask you for illumination, understanding of your word, to give me an understanding and a knowledge like nothing else." If we honestly and sincerely seek illumination, the Lord will provide it. That is the content of our asking. Asking for God's illumination, for God's wisdom, for God's guidance and direction, and finally, to ask for God's mercy. For God's mercy. Oh, this is a tremendous truth that those who ask for God's mercy will receive it. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, you don't need to turn there. We have here the rich young ruler, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He realized that he needed salvation. He realized that he needed something different in his life. He went before the one, the only one who could help him, and he asked for God's mercy and he gave it. We need to realize that in our role in prayer, which is to ask, we have a responsibility to do so. We understand our confidence in asking. And we also see in the Bible many ways and many things of the content of our asking. But it comes down to this. Are you going to go and fulfill your role in prayer? Because when we pray, we are just one party. One simple party in the whole scheme of prayer that God has provided. The Trinity itself is working in and through and on behalf of our prayers. So what happens when we pray? When a Christian and a church puts their hearts to praying, recognizing their responsibility to ask, having full confidence in what they ask, and then praying the content that we find in Scripture of what to ask, we will then see what the Spirit of God does.